been doing a great series called The Christmas Table. And your history doesn't determine your destiny. God can do something new in your life, and he wants you to have a seat at the King's table. The Christmas table, it gives us a sense of a gathering together as a family. And no family is greater than God's family. And we are all welcomed with open arms to it. No matter what you've done or where you're at, we only need to accept the invitation to accept our seat at the table. And as we've continued in the story, in the series of The Christmas Table, we see it illustrates a feast prepared by a king or a master, as we see in Luke 14, verses 15 to 25, who invites as many guests to share in a celebration. And many of them all make excuses why they can't come and that. But no matter what, and that the master sends out an invitation. He throws it out to everyone then, no matter of their background, no matter of their history, because he didn't want them to miss out. And we've been looking at the table of grace, a table of unity, and a table of invitation. And if you missed any of these messages, I highly recommend that you go to YouTube under Life UC and you'll be able to see them and just get up on them. They're great messages. So we're continuing on today and we're looking at the Christmas table, a table of transformation. Christmas is God inviting us to a table where we're not only welcomed, we are transformed from sinners to the beloved children of God. So the first thing we're going to look at is transformation involves an inward change. Transformation isn't just cosmetic. That's on the surface. It's an inward change. I laugh when I see these on the lifestyle program. I love looking at houses that are getting flipped and houses that are makeover renewal and everything like that. But I laugh with the ones where the hoarders come in and you go to a place and they're hoarding all this stuff and they go in and there's just mess everywhere. A bit like some of the desks in our office, but they love it. Not me. And so they hoard all these things and you just go into, you've seen them, hey? You go into the rooms and it's just like, even their kitchen's like, how can you function? But clearly they can and they love that, which is great. But they've also asked the TV crew and these people to come in and sort out their life for them. So they come in and they get rid of rubbish. They sort out this goes here. They've got compartments for everything. They add a little bit of furniture, a bit of, you know, all the redecorating. And then the film crew come in and the people go, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is just so wonderful. And I laugh because it's the people that came in that knew what to do. I want the TV crews to come in 8 weeks later. Let's see what these people have done. And you know, the reality is it won't have changed. They would have started making a mess again because there's not been an inward change. Someone else did a cosmetic change. There's no inward change. And that house will eventually be a mess again because that's the way they are. You know, when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, a definite inward transformation takes place through all that Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. All those years ago, God created us to have a wonderful relationship with him. Yet after mankind continually rejected him, and they will still do today, and that God's heart of love is set in motion, the most wondrous reconciliation plan ever. Starting with the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, in human form, a baby. God showed us his unconditional love by giving undeserving us, you and me, the gift of his son, who would eventually pay the ultimate price for your sins and my sins to bring us back in relationship with God. Jesus is the savior of this world. And when it comes to Christmas, Jesus is God's gift to this world. In John 1, verses 12 to 13, it says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, how great is the love of the Father that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, transformation means the old life we once had has passed away. The new has come. Our old life isn't held against us to condemn us. We are set free to live with a clean slate. Tell me whose other God does that? In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. John 8 verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth is also Jesus Christ. John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 8 verse 36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Imagine for a moment there's a dad and he's got his gorgeous tiny little girl who's having one of her first birthday parties, and he's prepared all the stuff for her. He's so excited. All the little details that he thinks the little girl would like, he's done, and she's had a few little friends over and he's so excited for her. And so then he just thought, look, they all seem like they're okay and that. I'm just going to slip inside and get the birthday cake. And so he comes out with the birthday cake, and to his horror, his daughter is caked in mud and feeding mud into her face, and she's the biggest mess out. And where he intended to put a delicacy, she's put dirt. Does he love her with the dirt in her mouth? Absolutely. Is she any less his daughter with dirt in her mouth? Of course not. And was he going to allow her to keep the dirt in her mouth? No way. He loved her right where she was, but he wasn't going to leave her that way. So he takes her over to a tap, to the water, to wash her out. Why? Because he loved her so much, and he knows the dirt isn't good for her. And God is the same. He wants to take you to the water. Spit out the dirt, our Heavenly Father urges. I've got something so much more better for you. Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is always part of the equation that cannot be figured, planned, or legislated. And when it comes to Christmas, Jesus will always be at the heart of it. God wants to transform your messy life with all its baggage into something beautiful. You know, the Grand Canyon in America is just a lot of dirt and hard rock. But when a river runs through it, it becomes a thing of beauty that endless people all over the world come to see. And water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when we allow him in our lives, all the dirt, the mess, and the hard areas get transformed into something beautiful. So the first thing is transformation involves an inward change. The second thing is transformation begins with a change in the way we think. Romans 12 verses 1 to 2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we read the word of God, it renews our mind. When we read the word of the Bible, we meditate on it and listen to this and apply it to our lives. It renews our mind. We will be able to have our minds transformed into conformity with the truth of God's word rather than conforming to the lies of this world. Renewing our minds can be difficult and tiresome sometimes, yet it is a practice we must continue to cultivate in our lives. In the same way, We have to consistently turn away from conforming to the patterns of this world. When we come into God's presence through prayer and worship, our perspective is transformed because we start to see things from God's perspective, how He wants us to act and to get the best absolute outcome. This transformation is not a one-time event, but an ongoing process where we are daily changed into His image. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So firstly, we looked at transformation involves an inward change. Secondly, transformation begins with a change in the way we think. The third thing is transformation unlocks the hidden places. When I was preparing this message, I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to mention that there's some people here, and perhaps you are even online, and you've let Jesus into your life, but as though you've got hidden rooms or compartments that are locked, and you're not letting Him in. Perhaps it hurts too much at the thought of unlocking that door. Well, God wants to let you know He knows. He knows. His heart is not to add to your pain, but to allow the Holy Spirit to come and bring healing, wholeness, and freedom to that part of your life. The Scripture reminds believers that God is intimately understands human grief. The writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 4 verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. The prophet Isaiah's description of Jesus in Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And it serves as a powerful testament to the compassion of the Lord, who willingly bore the depths of human pain. No one has suffered human pain more than Jesus did. And this understanding comes from the human suffering that underlies Jesus' invitation for individuals to seek Him. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where the enemy meant to leave you with pain, God wants to transform your life and that area and bring a peace and a beauty to your life. Firstly, we looked at transformation involves an inward change. Secondly, transformation begins with a change in the way we think. And thirdly, transformation unlocks the hidden places. And the last thing is, transformation enables us to be agents of change. We live in such a broken and hurting world, and Jesus working through us is the answer. As we listen to Him and allow Him to work through us, the possibilities are endless, because it's not about us. It's about Him and His power. We're just the vessels. But will we let Him do that? A certain group of young Christian people were concerned about the souls of the other people in their young people's community, and they were arranging a screening of all these evangelistic films. And as they met together, one of the young people said, look, you know, I feel we've got this gallery up here, and I think that we need to, you know, clean it out and use it. And they're all going, oh, no, we haven't used that for years. We won't need it. We'll be fine. And so they prayed some more and then the Holy Spirit spoke to each one of them individually and said, you need to clean out that gallery. So they felt the Holy Spirit was saying, you clean it, I'll use it. So they decided to spend a whole Saturday painting, cleaning, doing everything they could to get this in tip-top condition. And on the first night of the filming, they was bated breath, I hope people come and that. Well, people started coming in. They started filling up the whole auditorium area like this. And then bit by bit, they started going up to the gallery. And they started filling all the gallery. And then when the invitation came for them to get to know Jesus and come in a personal relationship with him, loads of young people started coming forward. And to their absolute delight, all these people started coming down from the gallery that they had prepared. And they remembered the Spirit's instructions, "You clean it and I'll use it." They became agents of change. What areas is the Holy Spirit talking to you about? You do something and I'll do something. Be an agent of change. You might say, "Oh, I don't feel I'm good enough for God to use." Well, God seems to delight in using the least likely person and do the most amazing and life-changing things. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, we see that previously his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee in Jerusalem after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he swore to wipe out the new Christian church called The Way. In Acts 9, we see that Paul is breathing murderous threats against the disciples. He was zealous in his mission to kill every jolly Christian he could find. He was a man with a mission. And then they're on the road to Damascus. Saul and his companions were struck down by a blinding light. And Saul heard this voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And when Saul asked who was speaking, the voice said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And it goes on to say that Paul was blinded for 3 days. And then he was told to go somewhere by the Holy Spirit, and he was prayed for, received his sight, filled with the Holy Spirit, and got baptized into the Christian faith. Saul changed his name to Paul, and he became one of the greatest apostles in the growing in the Christian church and turning people's hearts to Jesus. He wasn't afraid of anything and boldly told people about Jesus, no matter how much persecution he endured, and he did endure a lot. He firmly believed, Philippians 4 verse 13, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength to me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's self-sufficiency." God often chooses the most unlikely people to accomplish his will. Over and over in the Bible, God picked flawed men and women to carry out his plan of salvation. The lesson is that the power comes from God. The person is only the vessel. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing." Imagine what our world would look like if everyone allowed God to transform them. There'd be no wars because pride, greed, and corruption wouldn't be involved anymore. There'd be no hunger as nations would be bursting to help each other. No homeless as people would be helping and supporting each other. There'd be less sickness as people learn to forgive each other. Families and marriages would live in good relationship with each other because they work together at their relationship instead of living for themselves. Churches would be bursting at the seams as people crowded in to worship God in their community. And the list could go on. You think about it. What would it look like? But you have the opportunity to be an agent of change right where you are. Colossians 1 verses 9 to 14 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of the darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." How powerful is that? You know, Christmas is not only about the birth of Christ, Jesus. Sorry, Christmas is not only about the birth of Jesus. It also points to his life, his death, and his resurrection, the ultimate act of transformation that makes eternal life possible for us long after our earthly bodies have died. The worship team would like to come, please. This morning, will you receive God's invitation to the Christmas table, a table of transformation? Will you receive God's love and the transforming life that you can have as a result of what Jesus has done for you? Will you ask him into your life? Christmas began in the heart of God, but it is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. He is at the heart of your every day, your every breath. Why did God need to give us Jesus? Because our relationship with him was broken, and God knows all too well the pain and the heartache of a broken relationship. Many of you have heard this quote, but it is true. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a savior. John 3 verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You have no comprehension of the dimensions of forgiveness God gave you, because his love is far greater than and deeper than anything you could hold on to or any mess you've made in your life. Today, he invites you to the Christmas table, his table of transformation. Will you come and be part of his family today? He awaits your decision.